going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wake up, Atlanta. I am Big Papa Squid. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And we have our third member, finally, the great Ali Mack is back in Atlanta as she joins us now on a full-time basis. She is the third member of the Morning Shift. Welcome in, Miss Ali Mack.
Well, thank you. What an intro, Bo. I appreciate that.
Welcome to the shift.
Feels like the first day of school. I need one of those signs that says first day at 92.9 The Game. I'm so excited to be here.
And I she's got her new shoes on.
I do have new shoes on today.
Yeah. It's been good, man.
If I didn't know we were wearing new shoes, I'd have put my new Puma slippers on. Instead, I've got the old ones.
Yeah, I think it was a comedian, Ali, talking the other day about how I saw, you know, you go in the Instagram reels, and it's a comedian saying they didn't want to crease their clothes for the first day of school, so they just laid on the bed and laid the clothes on top of them. You know what I mean? And, like, put a mirror in. I'm like, yeah, that's it. Happy to have you, though.
Well,
excited you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like I'm going home back on Atlanta radio. Very excited to have my alarm set for 3 a.m. every
There you
single
go, man.
Day.
Hey, living the dream, baby. I tell them all the day, Ali. Living the dream. Absolutely, man.
3 a.m., that's what time your alarm's at?
Absolutely. What's yours?
Well, mine was 3:15, but now it has to be 2:55.
Yeah, there you go. I told her.
That is my monster. I'm the one that wakes up the first on the morning shift.
Yeah.
But I drive – well, actually, I don't know. Ali and I used to live close, and I had her by driving distance, but I know – recently, the Macaulays have new digs, so she might now be driving the furthest end.
Is that it? The burbs?
Well, yeah, we're on the west side of Marietta now. So, I mean, 25 minutes to get in. What about you, Bo?
Yeah, it's 25 to 30. Depends on how many red lights I hit in Woodstock.
I'm judging you guys for how far out there you are. I think I'm at 17 in the morning. So, yeah, we're popping on 400 and heading south, though.
But, guys, this is it. This is the morning shift moving forward. As you all know, we have some people move on, and we appreciate everything that they brought. But now Ali is our third member, and you know, it's going to be different with Ali because I feel like at times, Mike, you've been our energy. I feel like at times I've been our energy. At times we've needed, you know, energy. Dylan's popped in. I don't know if anyone's going to bring more energy every day to this show than Ali.
I keep looking around for the coffee. I'm like, where's the coffee at?
I actually hope so because I can just kind of settle in and be the grumpy me at times I want to be and not bring the mood down. But I'm really looking forward to it. As you guys maybe heard Friday, Ali is one of the first people I've ever met in the business. And when I say that, she was an intern at Star 94 when I was at station at 790, and we literally could commiserate about how our host at my time, it was Steak Shapiro was one of them, was being a pain in my royal ass at times, and Ali was dealing with her own her own pain, which is a show that, I mean, some of those people might not even be in radio anymore.
They're not.
So we go way back, and it's kind of crazy to think that we have now gotten our own show together, and it's kind of wild, but I'm really looking forward to it. Just like, you know, I'm looking forward to the 2025 season, guys.
Ooh,
after what the Falcons did in the draft. All drama aside, I absolutely love what they did, and from what I heard about a few guys that they signed in undrafted area or rumored to have signed, they haven't officially announced it. I'm excited about that, but you know, let's get started with what they did in the draft. Jalen Walker fell to them at 15. They trade back up James Pierce Jr., and then they make a move up one or two for Xavier Watts, and then they get Billy Bowman and safety at Xavier Watts Notre Dame. They get Billy Bowman from Oklahoma, who's a safety who's going to play primarily nickel, and they finish it off with a big offensive swing tackle and Jack Nelt from Wisconsin.
Yeah, man. I'm really excited about all these guys, and I'm glad you said that about Billy Bowman. It seems to me, though, that the home run picks from everybody that follows the draft, and I say that by people that follow the draft because that's how we kind of judge value. We don't know what these guys are going to be. Lord knows, sometimes when we talk about third-rounders, fourth-rounders, fifth-rounders in the draft, you never know how they're going to pan out. But I think a lot of people that follow it, look at Jalen Walker, home run pick, Xavier Watts for where you got him at in the top 100, home run pick. There's questions about trading up for James Pierce. I am fine, Bo, with them trading up for James Pierce because you covered it Friday. You know, they were going to look at taking him at 15. They had a lot of conviction about him as a player. Which to me, like I said, we follow people that are draft pundits, the Kuipers of the world, whatever. But we talked about it months and months and months leading up to the draft. When they have conviction about a guy, we don't know who's on their draft board at the number one edge rusher. We don't know who that is. It seems to me like it was probably James Pierce at, you know, 1 or 1A behind Jalen Walker, and they're able to get him at 26. So there'll be a lot of talk about them mortgaging next year's first-round draft pick. They had a lot of conviction. Why not go ahead and get the guy in the building and get two quality players in the first round? You desperately need them, and you'll be able to address some of those other things probably in free agency next year.
Yeah, here's the thing I'll say. I got a couple points. You're right. I love what you just said about the guys we follow. Dane Brugler is one of my favorite people to follow. He did not like the risk they took, so he put them lower. But you have, what was it, Warren Sharp put out a thing about value that of teams in the draft. And he had the Falcons number one by a wide margin of value they got with what they did. So I love that. But I want to say this, and this is to me, I don't know, this is not confirmed. This is a theory that I've taken out of watching this team the last couple of years, this front office, I should say. And I talked about this Saturday when it was you and I doing our draft show. I feel like this team went about this draft in one way. They knew that free agency-wise, they couldn't be aggressive. They had to kind of fill in the gaps in places and with guys that were fringe players. Well, I mean fringe by could start in a pinch, but you don't want them as your 17-week starter, right?
Right.
You know, that kind of makes sense. You see what I'm saying? By the way,
ding.
They then decided because of that, they had to do the draft a different way. And I think that it was very much helped by the fact that Jalen Walker, a guy who they probably had, here's the best player available that won't be there situation. And they had a board. And so right, we know they probably had two boards. Guys that we think this is how they rank. This is how we think our best player will be available at 15. And I think that was James Pierce Jr. So when Jalen Walker fell, they said, now is what we do. We be aggressive. Because the last year when they were aggressive in free agency, they knew that they didn't feel like they had to be as aggressive in the draft, and that as far as getting need. And that is why when you saw Michael Penix Jr. fall, because you said we won't be drafted in the top 10, which they weren't. Give them credit for that. They weren't drafted in the top 10 this year. They went and made a move for next year. It ended up being a move for this year, believe it or not. Or I say next year, like 2 years from now. And it ended up being this year move and late last season. This year they said, we need starters in the draft. Let's do whatever it takes. Let's be uber aggressive and worry about next year, because then we'll have money to spend in free agency.
Exactly.
So it's not that big of a deal. We won't need to rely on the draft as much. And to me, that's exactly what they did, and that's why I don't have a problem with the value. If you're some beat writer who just has an axe to grind with the franchise, you give them a C-, because all you do is rip them anyways. I don't really give a damn.
All right.
Yeah, aggressive.
Yeah. Well, I kind of figured you were going there, man, with some of the stuff that has been put out from local beat writers, which it's funny because, you know, we deal with local beat writers, but so many times does it feel like it's Atlanta against the national media. Like Atlanta against the national media, as far as sports goes, seems like we're always up against it. You know what I mean? It's like Atlanta's, I don't know, the forgotten major market sometimes with people, or it can be a laughing stock sports-wise. Especially until, you know, recently with Georgia finally winning a couple national titles and things like that. But it is frustrating when you come back and it becomes one of Atlanta's own beat writers, one of the most recognizable names in the city that's like, no, this is not good. Everybody universally happy on Friday. And here's what I'll add. And Allie, you'll learn, this is one of my favorite things to do. I like to go on other teams' Reddit pages.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I like to go on Reddit, and we thought the Carolina Panthers would take Jalen Walker, right? So I like to go on Reddit, and I'm like, I wonder what the talk is about Jalen Walker on there. And, like, Panthers fans are so sad.
Really?
Like, so sad. Like, posting videos like, man, this hurts to watch. Jalen Walker fell right past 8. And they had Jalen Walker's reaction to Tet McMillan being drafted to the Carolina Panthers. And they're like, yeah, this hurts to watch, man. He's going to be a great player. I'm like, yes! Yes! Oh, my God. It's few and far between. We get to feel like that as Falcons fans, where other teams are jealous of what we had going on.
Well, and how long has it been since we've come out of a draft where everyone is kind of on the same page, just the same amount of excitement across the board?
Yeah, I said this Friday, Bo, you can vibe with this. In the history of the morning shift, which has been 2+ years, I would say maybe 4 or 5 times we've come on air and actually everybody was excited. Like maybe 4 or 5 times where everybody is like through the moon. Even when you win football games, there's people that are like, well, we shouldn't have been that close. You know, benefited from a missed call.
Wow.
Dylon's like, Saquon should have caught that ball for the Eagles. And, you know, it is what it is. So.
Everybody is the smartest person in the room. And everyone thinks it makes them sound cooler if they kind of pick at it and they're being negative and I'm not gonna be positive because it's too fanboy, or it acts like I'm soft, or I can't show that I'm happy and I'm just enjoying it, or I gotta act like I know more than everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating to me is you know, we have to deal with it from our own people. It's constant. It's always constant. It's always something. And Allie, to your point, how long has it been? It's been a long time. And what Mike's talking about, the Panthers Reddit, that's been Falcons fans for years. Drake London falls at 8. Drake London has absolutely been everything that Falcons fans could hope of, especially with a guy that's had inconsistent quarterback play in his 3 seasons.
Ooh.
Yet we weren't happy because we knew we needed defense. And the Panthers fan base is in an exact situation where they saw a guy, and even take it further to the Bijan pick with the 8th overall, and we had Jalen Carter there. And Jalen Carter wasn't from Atlanta, but he played in Athens at Georgia, won national titles at Georgia. And Jalen Walker was from North Carolina. You know, he grew up in that area. And Panthers fans see him passed on for a wide receiver. McMillan is probably going to be a Drake London-esque type player as far as
– I agree, big body.
I think he'll land too, yet you're not happy. But I look at the Panthers draft, and if I was a Panthers, if I was doing, what is it? It used to be our sister station, like WFNZ, I think, up there, that our buddy Will Polacek works at. If I was doing his show right now or whatever, I'd love their pick. They got McMillan. They got Nick Scowerton, who I think is one of the best players in the draft on defensive line. You do too, Mike. You and I both equally fell in love. Princely Umamina Milan, or however you want to say his name, but nobody can really figure it out. He's a poor man's James Pierce Jr., and they got Trevor Etienne as well. They got some really good players draft.
Yeah.
And they did it their own way, but they passed on what everyone told them would be there and they'd be taken, which is Jalen Walker, which is where we've lived. And Allie, that's why Falcons fans have always been frustrated at times with that kind of stuff.
All right, we got to go to break. We're going to come back. We're going to hit a little bit more draft. Obviously, we're going to keep you covered from draft from the top to bottom. We have Tony Pauline later on today. He put an article out over the weekend about possible Jalen Walker surgery. Don't want to get too far away from that. Also, the Atlanta Braves, Spencer Schwellenbach with a quality start last night. But did he deserve it? Stick with us here. It's the morning shift. Mike, Squid, and the Allie Mack attack is back here flanking to my right. Stick with us. Morning shift, Sports Radio 910.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
In the game. There it is.
Yes.
Back in the building. Miss Allie Mack. Back with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio. Yeah. Love to hear it. Nice job, Dylan.
Yeah, that was great.
Nice job, Dylan.
Love
to hear it, man. Look, man, we're going to get to Atlanta Braves here in just one second. Allie, we have to call our guy out right here.
Yeah.
Maternity photos or paternity photos. I won't say maternity photos.
They're baby pics, man.
Okay.
Call them what they are. Don't call okay. them. Like, don't
newborns.
Make it weird.
So
don't.
There's one thing, you know, Bo has had a lot of thoughts, a lot of, you know, foot putting down, Allie, as he is as headed towards fatherhood. And now that he's there, I can feel that foot starting to get a little lighter. You know, it's not coming down quite as hard. You know, getting the maternity pics, Bo. So I hope you got good pictures because they'll be around for forever, probably. From four years ago, ours are still down in the man cave, just rocking.
Yeah, look, when it comes to pictures and my wife, I just smile and try to, you know, get through it because I'm just not a picture guy and everything is a picture. But like, I was like, hey, can I wear these jeans and this button down? She's like, no. She goes, there's a vibe with the outfit that we have. And I go, okay.
But
So I'm going through stuff, and she's like, yeah. So I got to wear my Masters three-quarter zip, and then I got a few years ago when I went, and I was like, what about these pants? No. She's like, oh, I like those khaki golf pants. Yeah, put those on. I was like, all right. And I get ready. I get my hair fixed and everything. I look in this mirror. We got this long mirror, and I go, okay. And I walked in there. I go, are you sure you like this? She goes, yeah, it looks great. I go, I feel like a 12-year-old going to Easter Sunday service in church.
Are you guys like me, though, where when my wife's like, hey, we're taking photos, like I try to leverage it for something else? And maybe Grant's like this. I don't know. But I'm like, all right, well, if we take photos right now, then you know what we're doing. You know, like we're going to the Braves game in like 2 weeks. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not doing this. And like I'll try to leverage the things I do in my home. I'm like, dude, like if I'm gonna do something I don't want to do, you're gonna have to come back around with it. We're going to Disney World. I'm like, all right, that's fine, but I'm not going to Disney World for another 3 years. Okay, deal.
Oh, I think Grant and I are still in the honeymoon phase where he's just like, yeah, whatever you say, whatever you say. But I got to give credit to Amy, Bo. I mean, she's just been a super mom all over social media. I don't know how she has time to do it all. And it looks like she has a glam squad making her up every single day. She is just transitioning beautifully into motherhood.
Did she do her makeup before the hospital photos? That was Lindsay's big thing. She's like, should I do my makeup before I take pictures with the baby?
She absolutely did. It was funny because she was in, I was like, what's going on here? Like, I'm sitting there on the couch, like, because that was like a 4-day bender, basically, without the alcohol. Because you're sleeping on the couch and everything, and you're not getting a lot of sleep when you do. And she's like all glammed up, and I'm like, can I just wear my camo bucket butcher shop hat?
Yes, you can.
And no, but I appreciate that, Allie. That's very sweet of you. She'll really appreciate that. It's one of those deals where there's been so many great moments, but there's always like the little struggles of everything, and it's just kind of getting used to it. Like last night, I got to give Mel credit before we get to the Braves and stuff. Is Amy texted me, we got those pictures yesterday. I'm down there trying to fold clothes and watch Talladega. Talladega!
It's Dega, baby.
And she's like, hey, we got invited to go to Cancun's. And I go, oh, I don't know. How many people are going? I don't want to be in a big hoopla. Like, I don't, you know, I'm like, I don't know. And so we ended up going with our neighbors. And, you know, we get in there and Mel sleeps through almost the entire meal.
There
right
you go.
At the very end, she woke up.
That's
gave
a
her
sweet
a bottle,
spot, man.
And we get home, and now I'm worried, you know, what is she going to be off? So we give her a bath and everything. Dude, I kid you not, I probably fell asleep around 10:30. Mel woke me up at, I believe it was 4:30. No, actually, it was 2:30. I thought she was waking up. I got up. Then she went back to sleep. And then the next thing I know, it's 4:30, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm going to give her bottle, go downstairs, and get ready for the show. It could not have worked out better last night.
Yeah. Love to see it, man. That's so important at that age. All right, so let's pivot to Braves real quick. Guys, we got to talk about the Atlanta Braves. Spencer Schwellenbach last night. A quality start, Bo. The Braves fall 4-6 to Arizona. They do win the series, but I want to focus for a minute on Spencer Schwellenbach. Quality start last night, which, great. You know, you get the 3-run runs in 6 innings. But you also threw a ball in the center field that directly resulted in a fourth unearned run. It's kind of one of those weird caveats, guys, where, like, he's not going to be on the hook for the earned run because it was an error, but it was also his fault. You know, it's like also his error. So you look at it and go, Schwellenbach, you did good, but you also threw a ball in the center field that might have directly led to things getting more out of hand than they probably should have been. But coming off the back of the Suarez 4-homer game on Saturday, seeing the Braves fall short last night, I'm seeing the silver lining keep ripping off series wins, but the Braves nonetheless, Bo, fall last night.
Yeah, Schwellenbach's my guy. I've went on and said I think he's the best Braves pitcher on the staff right now. I still stick by that, but he's had a rough little 3-game stretch here where he's given up 21 hits, 11 earned runs over 17 and 2/3. The thing that – it's funny because he does have a quality start, and – he has struggled, but in every one of those games where he struggled, in 3 games he's got, almost 18 innings. That's, you know, that's 6. He's going 6 innings a game, right, even with struggles, which we've seen. Chris Sale gave you his best start of the year on Friday night, barely made it through five. And so the efficiency is there. Teams are getting aggressive with him early because he's such a strike-throwing pitcher. And what I mean is he predominantly throws strikes. He's a guy that works efficient. So they're getting aggressive early with him. There needs to be an adjustment, which I'm sure he will make, just like he made early last season. But it is very good for the Braves right now. They're 12-8 since they started 0-7. Yeah. They're tied for last. At one point, they were out of the cellars late Saturday. But Mike, they're winning games, and I know Allie is having to experience this with our own Grant McCauley. But they're winning games much like they did in 2023 right now. To me, their last 20 game stretch is much like that. They're scoring runs. They're not great still, the runners in scoring position, but they're scoring a plethora of runs. They're outscoring teams when they need to. Saturday night was the perfect example of that. They just fell a little short last night. And, you know, Ozzie Albies has become an albatross for this offense.
That's where I want to go, dude. Let me just pause you right there. And I hate to say that. I don't think it's just the offense that he's become an albatross for. And, of course, I think he had a big hit Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, so I don't want to hamper on it too much. I don't think his defense has been very good. I think his range looks worse than it's ever been. And I think when you look at him at the plate clutch-wise, like with him hitting behind Matt Olson goes 0 for 3 yesterday, Ozzie Albies goes 0 for 5, then Michael Harris goes 0 for 4, like right there in the heart of the order. And my thought is that Matt Olson was eating up, but with Albies behind him hitting the way he is right now, I don't know why you pitched to Matt Olson. The threat? What is the threat behind him?
Yeah, and to your point, they didn't. I mean, it was one of those pitch arounds where if you get him to chase, you know. Felt like it was one of those situations where, hey, get something out of the zone that maybe he'll chase that, and if he does, then we maybe change our philosophy here, our strategy. I said this, what was it? Was it Thursday, Mike? We talked about this. I think Ozzie Albies has become the one player that we don't ever touch. We never criticize. Well, he's playing on a team-friendly deal or this. Ozzie Albies the last couple of years has been brutal. You know, you look at his numbers the last few years, he is a player with pop but not a consistent power hitter. He's not a consistent on-base player. His on-base percentage hovers around 300. Yeah. That's not great for a second baseman. That's not what you need. I need more from him all the way around. And to your point, his defense has been shady this year. So he needs to wake up because his contract's coming up soon, and I'm not going to pay him a big boo-koodle of money for him when he's not performing to that.
Well,
we didn't do it with Dansby. Why would we do it with Ozzie?
There is one guy that's not worried about Ozzie, and that's our buddy Brian Snicker.
We know what Oz is. You know, had 30 and 100 before and have some rough patches and still has a way of coming out. You know what? Oz is great with hanging with himself. He doesn't put a lot of pressure, I don't think, and he has a lot of confidence and understands that this is a seven-month season, and he could, you know, rattle off two great months and be right where you want him to be.
It's thoughtful and hopeful to hear from Brian Snicker, which he usually is. I love that about Brian Snicker. But at the same time, like, we're starting to get to a little bit of an expanded sample size here, guys.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It hurts my heart because yesterday, I believe in the game, bases were loaded. I saw Ozzie coming up and there's two outs already. I'm like, well, we know how this is going to go. Yeah, and
dude,
I am an eternal optimist.
Oh,
and
so
I hate to have that feeling.
Yeah. That's so true, man, and I feel the same way. And again, I think he had a big hit, I think Saturday or Friday, although the weekend's starting to be a blur because we did the show Saturday, Bo, but big hit over the weekend. It wasn't to Suarez's level, which, Lord knows, I'm still seeing home runs for, you know, Suarez on Saturday, which is crazy to watch. Then Corbin Carroll yesterday, with the big hit as well. So, yeah, frustrating into a good series for the Atlanta Braves, and hopefully they can bounce back, man, because it's time for them to – All right, hey, look, we got to go to break real quick. When we come back, we got to break into it, guys. This whole Jeff Ulbrich, Jax Ulbrich, Shedeur Sanders saga, what does it mean? What's the end game here, and how mad should Falcons fans or NFL fans actually be about this? We're going to break this down from top to bottom on the other side. Stick with us. It's Mike and Bo and Allie, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the newest edition of the Morning Shift. Mike, Squid, Miss Allie, Mac is back. And then Dylan on the ones and twos. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. A lot of fun so far today, talking NFL draft, talking Atlanta Braves, talking Bo's maternity pictures.
Having fun, Mike. We're having fun.
The vibes are high, man. The vibes are high in the city of Atlanta for the Atlanta Falcons fans, no doubt. We are going to get Tony Pauline on later today. We're going to ask him about the report he put out a couple days ago about Jalen Walker possibly needing surgery. Want to make sure we ask him that and get answers for Falcons fans. We also got Dave Archer coming up at 8:40. We're going to talk about Shedeur Sanders in 2 minutes and the crazy fallout from the prank phone call. But Miss Allie has an interesting story. If you guys ever wondered about the jerseys on draft night, man, I think this is pretty cool.
I mean, I was wondering because they call the name, and by the time they get to the stage, they have their jersey with the number one on
it. It is crazy.
It's so fast.
Like, how many jerseys y'all got back there?
Right, and I can't watch something like that without being like, okay, how did they do that? So I found this on CBS. Apparently, at the draft, each team has 4 jerseys on site ready to go for any player at any time, and they have every name printed up in every color combination possible.
Every single one.
Every single name.
That is not the. I did not think you were going that direction with this story.
So 4 jerseys for each team, and then the name for every color combination. And the jersey crew gets the notice immediately as soon as the team makes the pick.
Wow.
They press it. It takes about 2 minutes to make this process. And you know how long that tunnel is to walk up there.
Oh, yeah.
So they have it done. They hand it off to the commission, and it is seamless.
That is insane.
And if you want to see the video, how they put it all together, I did tweet it out from the morning show or the morning shift Twitter if you want to see that. So you can check it out, see how it all comes together.
Yeah, at 929 Morning Show. I thought for sure you were going to tell me, okay, seamstress on hand, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I thought, like, you and Bo, you've seen this. What is it? Is it the U.S. Open Cup where they immediately like put the name in the side with the person in the back there that does the placards, and they automatically add it the trophy?
Yeah, they engrave it. I think it's the U.S. Open. It might be the claret jug for the British Open.
I thought for sure that was the direction you were going, because I just assumed they had a seamstress. Like, I was like, they got somebody back there just putting the name placards on. They're just sewing them on real quick. And I was like, it's insane, because my thought always was, how much advance notice do they have to be able to sew it? You know what I mean? Like, is it a 3-way phone call when the team calls in and says, here's our draft pick? Like, the seamstress is like, all right, 10-4, here I go. Here I go. It's my Super Bowl.
You know what's interesting, though, is we're talking about this. You know, sports has it down. They have these things ready to go. But you watch the Oscars, and then you've got Leonardo DiCaprio standing there waiting for his statue to be engraved. Like, why don't they have it down?
Yes. That's such a good point. Yeah, sports, especially the NFL, seamless with so much stuff like that. But pretty cool story. I'm with you, because I'm looking at it, and I'm going – because they all wear number one. Mm-hmm. They're drafting the first round. The jerseys all say number one for the most part. But I'm always like looking at those guys going, I wonder what number he's actually going to wear. It's always funny to see like an offensive lineman on there with a number one. I'm like, dude, that's cool for 10 minutes until, you know, they're like, hey, here's 74. You know, it's like one of the relievers in a spring training that comes in and gets like some kind of weird 67.
Yeah. I mean, a young pitcher comes up and he's. Yeah. He's wearing, like, you know, 98.
Yes,
like,
dude.
Okay.
Yes.
It's funny you mentioned Leonardo DiCaprio, because when I went to bed watching a movie on Paramount Plus, I woke up and it was that Catch Me If You Can movie.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks. That's such a phenomenal movie. I'm feeding pork chop, and I'm watching, like, him run away from his engagement party in that movie.
Yeah. all right, let's talk a little bit about Jeff Ulbrich and his son, Jax. This came out over the weekend. If you did not see it, quarterback Shedeur Sanders from the University of Colorado got prank called. Now, everything that Shedeur Sanders does is under a microscope at this point. It's all being streamed. It's all being videotaped. I don't know what, like, reality show, documentary, Twitch, Instagram, all of the above. I think all of the above is being involved in this. I want to invite you guys to weigh in on this at 929 Morning Shift. We want to hear from you. We'll be keeping track of that all morning. But so it comes out that the number was leaked, and this was an NFL-only number, and the number was leaked, and they tried to do an investigation of who it was. Come to find out, Jeff Ulbrich's son, Jax, who attends Ole Miss, is in the video where Shedeur Sanders is being prank called. Now, he wasn't the only person to be prank called this weekend during the NFL draft, but the Falcons have had to release a statement. Jax Ulbrich himself has released a statement. Shedeur Sanders has talked about it a couple of times. It is, guys, it's a bad look. All the way around, it's a bad look. And the one thing, coming off a good draft, the last thing you want to do, Bo, is turn on any headline and see the negative Falcons headlines, and that's what we're getting at this point.
Well, I'm just sick and tired of the negative headlines. And look, it's self-inflicted. I'm
yes,
tired of, we have a good day. Oh, yeah, 28-3. Yeah, or, oh, yeah, tampering. Or, you know, the noise gate with years ago when, Mike, you were on the team then.
Yeah, Roddy White, the executive, not the wide receiver.
Yeah, it's just it's always something. It just gets annoying. The way that people want to know that this happened. Well, how could this happen? How could anything like this happen? Well, you're working at home. You've got an Excel spreadsheet up which had the contacts of all of these prospects so teams can call them. And, you know, it's probably one of those things where – you know, we all get emails that sometimes, as being in management, Mike. Sometimes
go.
I get emails that have information on them that I don't need to do anything with, right? But I have it, and it's open, and kid goes by and sees it, and he's a 21-year-old college student, and he's like, oh, let's play a mean prank, and it's ridiculous, and shame on Jax Ulbrich, because that's to me to where. You know, I had this conversation with Mark Zeno, who offline, but it was one he was having online with people too, where he wants this accountability for Jeff Ulbrich. And I understand. To me, the organization should not be punished at all. If anyone's fined or punished, it should be Jeff Ulbrich as far as a fine goes. But let's not take accountability from where it should be. It goes to whoever the clown was on the phone call doing it. Who we still don't know his name, and it's Jax Ulbrich because they did this. And he's a 21-year-old adult. He's not a kid. He's his kid, but he's not a kid. He's an adult, and it's a mean-spirited prank. I don't like it, but the reality of the situation is Tyler Warren got pranked. Kyle McCord got pranked. But the Shador Sanders prank is the one people care about. Last year, Cooper DeJean got pranked.
Well,
I don't know. We never found out who. I'm not – saying that none of that any of it's right. It's just not the first time. It's the most famous person it's happened to, and it's extremely mean-spirited with the way it happened because this is a player, a human being, a draft prospect who had different grades and fell, and because of it, it becomes even more mean-spirited and feels even more harsh of a prank. And all of it's wrong.
Yeah, and Allie, I want to get your thoughts on this too, but here's what I'll say, bro. This is different for me. And the reason this is different and that Shador Sanders is being treated differently in this instance, the reason it's a bigger headline is because he's the only guy so far that's been pranked that had an NFL-only number that you thought you could trace it back to. Like normally,
well, that we know of. I mean, I think some of these players get NFL-only numbers. I think he's the only one that we know that's exactly what it was because they made a public report about it before.
Okay, I'm going to venture to say that Cooper DeJean didn't get a new cell phone for draft night.
We don't know if Tyler Warren or did or not.
Okay, that's fine. We'll give the benefit of the doubt. My point being is that you knew immediately that this was traceable to NFL. Mm-hmm. And when the conversations were already surrounding NFL personnel not being in love with Shador Sanders mm-hmm. and his perceived level of arrogance or cockiness or whatever you want to call it, then once it came out that Shador had an NFL-only number, that he only gave the number out to NFL people, that's when the target flipped around and it was like, dude, we need to find out who this is. Like, there wasn't an investigation before, obviously, for Cooper DeJean or Tyler Warren. I think those are different instances. But everybody in America is watching Shador Sanders and this entire story unfold. And as soon as we find out it's an NFL-only number, it's like, we might be able to figure out who this is.
Right.
Right? We might be able to figure out where the leak is. And that's when all this stuff comes out about Jax Ulbrich.
And I hate this because, you know, I'm not defending anything.
Sure.
But you know before this phone call was made, Jax was just thinking, this is going to be so funny.
Yes.
And it's just one of those pranks that went too far. It is not funny. And my immediate thought, actually, Mike, was about you because you explained the pressure you were feeling with draft night. And your mom had all these people over to the house.
Yes.
I mean, Shador has so many cameras on him.
Yeah.
And I feel like he handled it with grace.
I agree.
He handled it well. But how would you have felt if you had gotten a prank call on probably the most important night of your life?
Yeah, and I think to your point, and Bo, we'll bring it back to this, I think a lot of people don't necessarily find this relatable until you put it up against like your biggest moments of your life and realizing that he was let down in one of the biggest moments of his life. And when you add in the fact that, you know, and again, relatability comes. It's like, hey, can you imagine if you told your buddies that you did an interview for a huge job and like a huge promotion, and one of your buddies called you and was like, hey, man, you got the job. Oh, psych. You know, no. Like that's the way I feel about it. And I just hated it from all angles. I'm with you, though. I don't think this is a Falcons problem per se. I mean, the guy hasn't even coached a job for a game for the Falcons. He just got hired a couple months ago, right, to come back down here. It's hard to say, oh, the Falcons need to be fined for this. But I wouldn't be shocked to see a Jeff Ulbrich fine come away from this, just from, you know, from the standpoint of information getting out on his accord.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be upset with it either. Like, it wouldn't bother me.
No.
Like, if you find
it would
him,
be best
fine.
Case scenario, you know, in my opinion.
I heard people saying, "Good thing they traded their first round pick, dude." This is not a situation that you take a pick away from a team. That would set such a precedent because you just will never recover as a league from that. You can't do it. But if you want to find, if the league wants to find Jeff Ulbrich, then I understand, and I think Jeff Ulbrich would understand. Now, you know, his son might learn to understand too. I don't believe for a second that Jeff Ulbrich raised his kid to do this.
No,
but that, and again, it's like I got Zeno. Zeno's like, oh, accountability. I'm like, why are you yelling at the parent? Why is the parent the guy that should be accountable for an adult
21
making
is
a
that age too.
Boneheaded mm-hmm. decision? And you know the dumbest. You know the worst. He probably gets away with it if he doesn't film it. He's not in a video laughing while the other guy does it. The other part I want to know who the other kid was. I want to know who his – what because
– call his daddy out?
Well, not. I don't. Well, again, I don't blame his dad for his idiotic decision.
Yeah.
But I think he deserves to be called out too. Why is Jack Solbert the only one getting – now, he
deserves
it.
Well, it's the source of the phone number. Let's be real. It's the source of the phone number. That's why.
I know. But the other guy was just as culpable in this. It's mean-spirited, okay?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it.
To me, pranks done to their best. I'll tell you, I played a prank on a buddy of mine last night. We're at Cancun's, and we see a buddy of ours, and he listens, Davy Jones, he listens, he plays MGA, he's an older guy, he's sitting at the bar, way away from us, and he's talking. My buddy Bristow goes, hey, man, Davy Jones, you have Davy Jones' number? I go, no. He goes, so you have yours? I go, I don't think so. He goes, let's play with him and text him. So we started texting, hey, man, you owe me money. Come out in the parking lot. Leave your wife in. And we're, like, joking around. You know, he never checks his phone for, like, the 45 minutes go by. He never checks his phone.
So we send Ricky over,
and we're like, hey, go tell Davy there's a guy in the parking lot waiting on him.
Yeah.
And Davy looks down at his phone and goes, a squid. And he walks right over and was like, what are you guys doing over here? Trying to prank me. And I'm like, dang. You know, that's a prank, guys, that we know who it is. We have a relationship. We're friends. And it's all well, right?
Right.
This wasn't.
Yes.
That's how a prank is maybe not done right, but done in the right frame, right? It's done with a friend. It wasn't mean-spirited. This was mean.
Yeah, it was.
And that's the thing that's going to be taken away. You capitalize on a bad situation, something that was happening to someone that was not expected and it wasn't their best moment, and you tried to capitalize off of it.
Yeah, and Allie, I thought you brought up a great point. Shedeur Sanders has actually come out of this. I think the image of Shedeur Sanders for some people has actually gotten better. You know right. what I mean? The questions about him, like, the statement, he accepts the phone call. I know that Mr. Blank's talked to Dion. There just continues to be massive fallout. But age 21. Age 21 is that weird age where you're like, you're a man, you're still an idiot.
You yes, know what I mean? They know everything at the age of 21. You
no
guys
doubt.
Would not have wanted to meet me at age 21. That is such a crazy age.
Yeah, you and Grant ever have that conversation? Oh, I wish we'd got married earlier. It's like, I wasn't ready for
that. No, yeah, we talked about it.
Like, that would not have worked out for anybody involved. I want to know your thoughts, guys. Hit us up at 929 Morning Shift. And we'll make sure we keep track of that. We'll get to some of your thoughts later. That'll also be part of the wake-up call coming up 8 o'clock. And when we come back at the top of the hour, we're going to talk more about the NFL draft. Jalen Walker, James Pierce. How do the other guys fit over the weekend? You saw Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman and Jack Nelson get drafted here. How do they fit into the depth chart for the Atlanta Falcons? We'll cover that at the top. It's the Morning Shift. Mike, Bo, and Allie Mack, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.